Hey, I'm just letting you know that in February 2023, I am speaking at my friend Andy Storch's event in Sonoma, California. It's called the Talent Development Think Tank. I'll be running a session on marketing your workshops. And on day three, I'll be hosting the 2-hour workshop blueprint session. I'd love to see you there. Head on over to leannehughes.com/thinktank. Enjoy the episode. Coming up next on Leanne Hughes's Work and Live Large.
I think the other thing, so freedom, and then the second word that comes to mind is impact. So how do you have an impact on those around you, whether through your work or otherwise? And it doesn't have to, for me, be a huge impact. It might be a huge impact through, you know, in my world, working with a big organization and helping them to make huge changes to the way they implement part-time or flexible work. To me, that's a reasonably big impact. But it could just be, I don't know, having a friendly chat to someone next to you at a cafe, and, you know, that makes their day and your day a little bit better too. So, yeah, freedom and impact.
Life's too short, so you're here to work and live large. Here's your host with nothing to lose, Leanne Hughes.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm your host, Leanne Hughes, and I'm here to help you imagine what's possible is possible for you. And today we're talking about something that, well, a word that makes my heart sing, and that word is autonomy. I love freedom, autonomy, yes, but particularly in the time space in terms of having free time, but also autonomy in choosing the way of working, choosing the way that my day looks like, choosing the clients I work with, choosing the podcast guests I interview. Autonomy is amazing. Any time that I've been dictated to, I kind of feel like resisting it, even if I agree with it. It's just the way that I am. And when it comes to imagining what's possible, maybe you've been considering that you want more autonomy in your role. You might be working internally, you might be trying to climb the career ladder and work in senior leadership roles, but you're caught between wanting that career progression and also having a life as well. Well, today my guest, Belinda Morgan, shares her ideas on how you can make this happen. Belinda is the author of the book, Solving the Part-Time Puzzle, How to Decrease Your Hours, Increase Your Impact, and Thrive in Your Part-Time Role. So in this episode, we really dive into some of the concepts she shares in her book when it comes to how do you even ask or pitch the idea of working part-time? What is the benefit for business if you are working part-time? And not only that, it's societal benefits of having more freedom in your life. Belinda Morgan is a coach, author, and flexible work specialist. Her recent work includes advising a global tech company on their part-time work strategy, coaching executives at a Big Four bank, and working with a large insurer to design a refreshed talent management strategy. In her work as a consultant, Bell has seen firsthand how cultures that glorify overwork and prioritize profits above all else can be highly damaging to people's well-being, productivity, and results. She's also seen and experienced the enormous positive difference it can make when you find work that is both fulfilling and flexible. Belle grew up on a farm in rural Australia and now lives in Sydney with a husband and two kids. In this conversation, you'll hear Belle and I both riff on why we love autonomy and freedom as part of our day. And Belle also shares how she had her idea, her concept of her book, and got it out to market very quickly. You can find her work at belindamorgan.com, and links to everything mentioned in this podcast is available at podcast.leannehughes.com. Enjoy the show. I'm so excited to welcome onto the podcast Belinda Morgan. Belle, it's great to reconnect with you. How have you been?
I've been really well, thanks, Leanne, and thanks so much for having me. I'm a big fan of both your podcasts, so really exciting to be here today.
Yeah, well, I just admire what you've done in just, I think, this year in terms of releasing your book, and so I'm really keen to talk about that. But before we talk about your book and how exciting that is, and the content that will really, really resonate with people that are navigating the world of work that we're in now, I'm so curious if you can share maybe a bit about your work, the series of career pivots that brought you to what you do today.
Yes. So right now, what I focus on is I'm a flexible work consultant and advocate, and I've got a real interest and specialization in part-time work, and particularly part-time work in senior level roles, which I know is getting very specific. But the reason I'm so passionate about that really specific topic is I think that getting organizations to offer and implement well more part-time roles at senior levels has just so many benefits for the people who want to do those kinds of roles, for gender equality in the workplace and addressing the gender pay gap, and also for everyone else who wants to work part-time, because as we know, change doesn't happen unless it's role modeled from the top. So that's what I do now. In terms of how I got there, I actually I made a few pivots in my career. So I started out my professional career as a chartered accountant, actually. And one day, I guess a few years into my career, I was made a manager of a team. And I'd always known that the accounting work was okay, but it wasn't really my passion. I just didn't know what my passion was yet. And when I was made a manager of a team, what I found was that I just loved A, leading the team, but B, learning everything I could about leadership. It was just so interesting and exciting to me. And it just, you know, this idea of finding something that you're passionate about, but you're also good at. You know, of course, I wasn't great at it straight away because I was learning, but I found it kind of came reasonably naturally to me, I guess, and it was something that I could get good at. And so I made a big pivot a couple of years after that and became a leadership and management consultant, but with a big focus on leadership consulting, and really started focusing in on that area. So that was a huge change. And one at the time, people kind of said, well, you can't go from being an accountant to being a leadership consultant. And kind of thought, yes, I can. And so found someone else who believed I could, a company who was willing to take a chance on me, and did it. That was the first big one. And then many years after that, I loved that work, and I still do a lot of leadership consulting work as part of what I do. But after that, or a number of years into that, I had a couple of kids, and I started working part-time and working flexibly in different ways, and just found it really tough at the level of role I was at, and just tough for anyone, but, you know, particularly in reasonably senior level roles, just thought, why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be so hard? And why can't we all start doing it better? So it was kind of that really personal interest that got me into this topic of flexible and part-time work initially. But then as I started exploring it more, I met some amazing women who have a company called Beamable, and they were out there advocating for part-time work and doing research and understanding all the reasons why it was good for not just the individuals who want to do it, but for organizations and society and the economy. So once I started learning all of that stuff, I got even more excited about the topic, because it was no longer just about me. It was about why this is something that's important for the world, and kind of went further and further and deeper down that path.
That's so cool. There's two things I want to point up on. I guess the first one is your original pivot, when someone said you can't do that, you can't make that pivot, and you've just said, so you didn't listen to that, or you did, like, when you heard that, what did it make you even more convinced that you could do it? Like, what was your first reaction?
Yeah, it made me even more convinced. I don't know why, but I just kind of have this, why not? Like, why can't I? Other people have made much bigger and more different career changes, I'm sure. So that's just really small thinking, I guess, that you can't go from there to there. But it did actually make me more determined. And the way I kind of approached it was just go out and talk to lots and lots of people who were in that career and find out how they got there. And eventually the thing that made the big difference was finding a recruiter who was really willing to say, actually, yes, you can do that, and I've got some roles that you might be interested in. So it was kind of that connecting person to be able to introduce me. So through
relationships. Yep. And it's actually really interesting. The amount of CAs that I know that are in learning and development that have become leadership consultants is actually
really. Well, that's hilarious. I don't actually know that many.
I think you can start your own community, like CAs who are now leadership consultants.
CAs.
Yeah, like shout out to Mel Armstrong. I think my friend Liz Barber, she's very interested in it as well. I think, yeah, anyway, she hasn't made the shift yet, but I predict it will be part of her future. So with the part-time brand, my Alan Weiss, he always says real wealth is discretionary time. And at the moment we see a lot of like companies trying to compete on things like wages and development. But really, I think it's the autonomy and the flexible part is such a, I don't know, that would really drive me towards going for one employer over the next, is how you know, flexible they are with their arrangements. When I was working in Broome, I actually decided that I wanted every second Wednesday off. And so I applied for it. I got it. And people thought I was weird. I went to a hairdresser and she's like, aren't you at work today? I'm like, no, I got the day off. And she's like, why, do you have kids? And I'm like, no, I just want the time. People thought I was weird. This is like 2015. I'm like, this is completely, like, it was the best thing ever. So what is the brand now? I mean, like, now that we've, like, COVID sort of accelerated a lot of this thinking as well, part-time, like you said, in senior roles, what kind of assumption does that bring that you're hearing about the business?
So I guess the biggest assumption people have about part-time work in senior roles is that it's just not possible. Senior leaders need to be there all the time. They're so important that their presence is required every second, and the whole place is going to kind of fall apart if they're not there. So that's the biggest kind of big picture barrier. And then also this why, like you're describing, like why would you want to do that? And there's so many reasons people want to work part-time. And yes, having kids is one, but, you know, why not just work part-time if you want to sit there and watch Netflix on a Wednesday even? Like, you don't have to have an amazing other thing that you're doing with your time. Lots of people, just like Alan Weiss described, want this time to do whatever they want with. And so, there's these kind of blockers around, well, A, it's not possible, but B, even if it is possible, why should we, or why should we allow people to do that?
Yeah. And I mean, like, I don't get it either. Cause like, I remember I go for runs in the morning and I see parents dropping off their kids at daycare, and it just feels, I just watch that and it's like, they're running to their car, they're fighting traffic. They're, you know, like this world, that society we've sort of developed is, I don't know, it's not very healthy. So I'm completely aligned with you. So if, what about in terms of if someone's listening to this, they work full-time, they want to negotiate part-time, they don't obviously want to keep climbing in their career, what advice can you sort of offer them in terms of even starting that conversation with their manager or their business?
Yeah, great question. So there's a few things you can do. I think a really important one to start with is to educate yourself about the benefits of part-time for your organization. And as I mentioned, there's benefits for society and kind of big picture benefits, so that when you're going in, it's not just about, I want this for me. It's kind of, here's what's in it for you as an organization to get this right. And, you know, there's things like talent attraction, of course. You know, there's many people out there who do just want to work less or need to work less because of all sorts of reasons. They might be carers, or they might have disabilities that mean that they can't work full time, or they might have a side business, or so many reasons. And so if you want to attract and retain the best talent, is one really obvious reason why an organization should be looking at this. So get yourself educated on the what's in it for the organization. That's good. Firstly. And then also think about, are there people you know either in your organization or in similar industries who you know who are working part-time in senior level roles who you could show or kind of use as case studies when you're making the case to your organization? And if there's not anyone that you know directly or know of directly, once again, just do some research. There's an organization called TimeWise in the UK who have a Power 50 list of amazing senior level people working part-time. So you can look to sources like that. This is all about building the case. And then the other part of building the case is just think, how am I going to make this work? So if I'm currently working full-time, what are the parts of my role where I add the most value and have the most impact? And how could I maybe just focus on those? And what could we do with the rest of my work? And that is, I guess, why lots of people don't even approach it, because they can't think what they would do with the rest of their work. But there are lots and lots of ways that you can address that question too.
Yeah. And I think it's like what you said originally, it's about just challenging it, like, why not? And what I find really interesting, I was thinking about this the other day, is like, if I was to go on holiday, what are the tasks that I would have to keep running? Like, so if someone was going out of office for a week or two, what would they be delegating that's critically important or doing before they left? And I think that is a really good indicator of what's actually important in your role. And the other things are just filler, perhaps. Like, it's just about that sort of presenteeism culture. And being busy. I don't know.
Absolutely. I think that's a great way of challenging this idea that senior leaders or anyone has to be there all the time too. Like, what about when I go on holidays, or what about when I'm with a client for a week straight and not in the office doing the meetings and the other things? Or what about all these other times, you know, when I'm on sick leave? You know, the world doesn't fall apart. We don't actually need to be here all the time. So, and in those situations, what are the things that I really do need to do, like you're saying?
Yeah. And just sort of separating the value is of me being here. I think that's I'm just trying to find this from your bio, which I really loved. People like glorifying overwork. And it reminded me of my first job was for Accenture. And I remember at one of the social events, people were competing at how late they left the office. Now, this is back in 2008. But I was like, I was actually out of that organization like at a year, because I'm like, I didn't want that. Is that still happening, do you think? Like, is the hustle culture still being promoted? It seems like on LinkedIn there's like two sort of schools of camp, where it's like, you know, just take it easy, and other people, I mean, quiet quitting, you hear that. And then other, you know, Wall Street, like those type of banks, Seems Elon to be Musk. Still the other way.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really encouraging to see that there is a lot of challenge to hustle culture at the moment, but I think there's a lot of organizations still out there where it's the norm, and it might be some of the big consulting firms and, like you say, you know, finance and, you know, there's others. I also find too, kind of small to medium-sized organizations aren't as great at thinking about flexibility and challenging the status quo because they don't have, you know, the people and culture teams or the, you know, future of work people in there thinking about what's next as well. So whilst I think it's great that it's being challenged, there's a lot of places in the world where hustle culture is still king. And I think that's really interesting what you describe actually about your Accenture experience, because I had exactly the same experience. I worked at KPMG in my first role out of university, and exactly the same thing. I really like the work and like the people, but I just saw what people, you know, higher up the ranks than me were doing. I went, I don't want to do that. I don't want to work 70 hours a week. So I also left after a year and, you know, and went somewhere that had better work-life balance.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And yeah, I looked at the partners and they had, like, their eyes were just hanging out. Yeah. Like, there's nothing appealing about this. And a good point around small to medium business. I find that super, like, it's a really interesting contrast there, because a lot of people that start their own small to medium business are probably dropouts of corporate, so they just inherit the work practices there, but they don't realize that actually by being a small to medium, you actually have the ability to shift things and decide. So do you then come into organizations and, like, provide that spark of inspiration in terms of, hey, this is possible, and hey, here's how you do it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, as you're saying that, I'm just realizing that there are lots of small to medium organizations out there who are really challenging the status quo and experimenting with different things because they can, because they're small and agile. So it probably depends on who's set up that organization and who's in charge, I guess. But absolutely something that I do with organizations is, particularly for those, you know, smaller to medium ones, is provide that challenge of, you know, here's what other people in the world of work are doing or thinking about, and here's how you could become more flexible, or just think about working in different ways.
Yeah. I've got a friend from my old company, and she's recently got a senior role at a massive firm. And I noticed on LinkedIn, so now she's job sharing that role, which is amazing. It's being celebrated and everyone's very encouraging. I'm wondering how that would work. I haven't spoken to her yet. I'll have to reach out to her. But are you noticing more job sharing coming in as an option for senior level roles?
Yeah, once again, more talk about it and a few more roles being put into place. Job sharing is such an amazing tool. The trick with job sharing is finding an organization who's willing to consider it, but after that it's finding the right job share partner. And I think that can get in the way of more job shares being put in place. I think it's an amazing option. The trick is, though, you've really got to find someone who you can work well with, who has complementary skills. Seeing a little bit more of it, but it's not exploding exponentially. And my take, without having any research to back that up, is that that's potentially why.
Well, I kind of agree, because I'm like, I can't even imagine. People find it hard to delegate work, let alone to someone that's at your level. I find it, you'd have to be really, like, masters at communicating, and then you might have an idea and then they don't agree with it. It might create some more friction. Like, I don't know how I'd personally go with that. Yeah.
People who get the right job share partner and do it well rave about it, and organizations rave about the value it adds. So it's, you know, definitely, if you're listening and it's something you're considering, it's worth looking at and going for if you can find that right partner. But the other thing, actually, just mentioning, you know, someone at the same level, some job shares, they're not necessarily someone with the same level and same skills as you. Some job shares can be a more senior person and a more junior person as well, kind of splitting the different elements of a role. So there's different ways to job share too, which is kind of cool.
That's awesome. Yeah. Because I think of my dad as an example, who's recently retired, but he was doing, like, I remember when he was working from home, I'd go over there and I'd actually see what he was doing. And I'm like, why the heck are they paying you to do that? Like, they should just use you for your, you know what I mean? Like, use you for your brains and have someone else, like, kind of implement the work. So I love that strategy and maybe tactics. That's such a cool idea. So yeah. Belle, what is your work week look like? A typical work week for you? Do you work part-time?
Yeah, I work part-time. So I work, my headphone's falling out. I work school hours Tuesday and then full days Wednesday, Thursday at the moment. So that's Yeah, that's what I ideally work, I'd say. So it's always easy to preach something and harder to practice it. Sometimes I work outside those hours, of course, particularly because I've got my own business, but not massively so. Over time, I'd say, you know, there's peaks and troughs. Over time, I'd say I manage my work reasonably well within those hours.
Yeah, and I think it's a bit like because we're running our own show. My friend Steph messaged me the other day. This morning she's in Victoria. She's going out for a long weekend hike. And she said, are you having a long weekend? I'm like, no, like I'm going away for a month in November. So, and I might not work tomorrow, but I will work a Sunday. So it's, yeah. How do you, do you, in terms of technology, like, do you have all your email on your phone? Like, how do you, like, boundaries and things like that? Do you find that your clients struggle with that on their off day, like sneakily checking their email?
Yes, everyone struggles with sneakily checking their email. My top tip is, and I try to implement this myself as much as possible, is to let people know who you work with, what your non-work days are. And that sounds very simple, but some people don't do that. Make sure people are clear on when you're not working, and that the best way to contact you if they really need you for something is to send you a text message or to call you on your mobile, because you're not going to be checking your emails constantly on your day off. So that's my top tip for helping manage that. Because otherwise you do, and I've experienced myself, you just feel like, what if I miss something important? What if I really need to get back to someone and I don't realize because I don't look at my inbox? So that's easier as an employee than having your own business when you're not quite sure what's going to come into your inbox. So for myself, it's also about out of office messages and just the nature of what I do. I also feel like if I started responding to everyone on my days off, it doesn't look good either. So there's actually an added incentive for me not to be doing this. So
you actually picked the perfect field to be in. Because you have to role model those boundaries.
Yeah, exactly. And there's lots of different ways you can do boundaries, but there's a couple of practical tips.
I'm just trying to think of other areas of expertise I could like dive into that have the same kind of cool effect, like where, you know, like I mean, anyone that works with digital nomads, if they're like traveling around the world and showcasing, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There we go. New career path. I'm curious. So this is like, this podcast is Work and Live Large. I'm curious, like, what does that phrase, when you hear that, what does that phrase mean to you? What does working and living large sound like?
I think a couple of things. So one is about the freedom aspect, and we touched on this earlier. It maybe even goes to the quote you mentioned from Alan Weiss, just working and living large is having the freedom, to me, to spend your time doing what you want to do, whether that's doing the work that you enjoy or sitting on a beach or spending time with friends, just being able to use your time in the way that best works for you and having the freedom to do that. And I think the other thing, so freedom, and then the second word that comes to mind is impact. So how do you have an impact on those around you, whether through your work or otherwise? And it doesn't have to, for me, be a huge impact. It might be a huge impact through, you know, in my world, working with a big organization and helping them to make huge changes to the way they implement part-time or flexible work. To me, that's a reasonably big impact. But it could just be, I don't know, having a friendly chat to someone next to you at a cafe, and, you know, that makes their day and your day a little bit better too. So, freedom and impact.
Yeah, I love that you clarified your thoughts on impact. I did something about when everyone talks about adding value in, and immediately we think, oh, I've got to add more value through content. But like you said, it's actually just making them laugh or just being around and just listening. Like, that's adding value.
Mm. I think so.
Yeah. I think we tend to overcomplicate it sometimes. I think I need to like come in and like reframe them and radically like have a huge impact. But the work that you are doing, like, I really hope it does take, this whole thing does take off. Cause I think, like I said, just society, like mental health, I think it's very connected to that. The fact that, and times where I have felt like I'm getting close to burnout is when I've been working crazy hours and constantly like on the phone and checking things. It's just not good for your health. Are you sensing that is being a driver as well for some companies, is like the mental health aspect?
Definitely. I think the biggest driver though right now is this talent shortages everywhere, and how can we attract and retain the best talent, but also thinking about, you know, big organizations are always thinking now, which is amazing, about diversity and inclusion and how can we attract the most diverse talent as well. And thinking about enabling people to work in different ways is one really great way to do that. So I think they're two really big drivers, the well-being as well. I think it's interesting what COVID has done, because of course it's driven a huge shift in thinking about where we work, but less so in terms of how much or when we work. And that's kind of the next frontier. And I was actually listening to something Adam Grant was saying, who's a Wharton professor and studies work and does lots of really amazing stuff about how recent research that he's seen or done, I can't remember which, shows that people are actually even more interested in getting flexibility in when and how much they work than where they work now. So, wow. Yeah, I really think it's the next big thing. Organisations, you know, they're really thinking about and doing what they can around this where we work question, but I really think they need to start taking just as seriously giving people flexibility in how much they work and also when they work, which is that, you know, do I need to be online 9 to 5 or can I do some of my work asynchronously in the time that suits me best?
Totally. And that is, so the other week I woke up and I had like these meetings in my calendar. And like, we've got a meeting now. This is joyful. But it was more like 4 or 5 meetings, like sort of scattered through the day, which meant I was essentially working like even like a 7 a.m. to a 5 p.m. because it was just, you know, the random 1.5 hour pieces between, which means I couldn't really do anything. And I'm like, why? This isn't what I want. This feels like a job. And so I'm really even challenging myself, like, how do I offer services asynchronously? And that's why I sort of launched my Leanne on Demand, which was just voice note coaching, which is means anyone can in the world can pick it up and then I can respond in my own time. And I think that asynchronous challenge is a really sharp one. My husband works in mining though, and he has to be at site 7 days on, 7 days off. And so I feel like these changes are impacting sort of knowledge-based workers and frontline staff, client-facing staff. They're not, I don't know, are they getting the same opportunities or is that the sort of the next frontier, do you think?
I do think it's the next frontier. I do think the way that your husband works that you just described is a form of flexibility though, I guess 7 days on
that keeps
and
7 days.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I think for people who do shift work and frontline work, absolutely there's not the flexibility of where I work like many of the rest of us. But this kind of when I work and how much I work can be more flexible if organisations think about doing it right. You know, I know at my daughter's childcare, lots of the people who work there work for long days instead of 5 days because that suits them better. And so that's an example of flexibility and kind of frontline roles that we tend to think can't be flexible. So I think it's, about what can organisations do to give those people those other forms of flexibility, given that they can't typically have that work from home type flexibility or work from anywhere flexibility.
Yeah. And I think it's like you said, it's like actually asking them like, what would that look like for you, as opposed to sort of just coming over the top and saying, here's a policy. I think it's the conversations are really important there.
Yeah, that is so critical. And that's something I'm talking to organizations a lot about at the moment when I'm hearing things about work from home or hybrid work not working for them, or, you know, all this new world of flexible work being too hard to navigate. So often the management team has sat there and gone, how do we think this should work, and implemented it without going out and asking employees what they actually want, which is just insane, because flexibility or flexible work is all about helping people work in ways that suit them. So, yeah, it's a really simple starting point. You know, have you actually gone out and asked your employees what they want and acknowledge that that'll be different for different people and thought about how you can manage that?
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that is, it's critical. And it's funny how things that are so simple are still overlooked. And look, like we do, I think it's always about they've got good intent around this, but it's like actually the easiest way would be just having a conversation and hearing from them. Now, Belle, this book, it's like it appeared out of nowhere. You've got this idea and you put it out to the world. Can you share a bit about your sort of book thought and writing process with us as well?
Sure. So the book thought process, I guess, it was just really around the conversations I was having with people and my own experience. So the book is really specifically on that topic around working part-time in a senior level role. In terms of the writing process, I love this idea. So what I'm about to say might not work for everyone, but I heard this guy, he's called Cole Fink. He's a thought leader in Australia and has all sorts of interesting work on different topics. But I heard him say once around some people, when it comes to productivity, structured productivity really works for them. And some people, energetic productivity really works for them. And it's all about just jumping in and doing some work when you have the energy. So my answer on how I kind of got the book done is not I had a really defined structure and I did this every day and forced myself to do that. It's more, I guess I did sometimes force myself to sit down on a chair for a certain period of time, but it's when I had the time and the energy. And the other thing that I did that really worked for me was I had an editor and I agreed with her that I would send her chunks as I went rather than the whole book at the end. And so that kind of the combination of just doing it when I had the time and energy, but also having someone who I was accountable to send things to, and we had dates of when I had to send them to her, made the world of difference for me.
I agree. I was just thinking, like, are there people in the world that aren't deadline oriented and can plan and batch things in advance? But I'm the same as you. A deadline really drives it. Plus, you were getting feedback as you were building it.
Yep. Getting feedback as I was building it. And just I'm a last minute person, to be honest.
Me too. So how long, like, from contacting the editor to getting the book out, how long did that take?
It was about 18 months.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's partly because I self-published. So some of the advice I was given up front was you can go to a publisher with it and that's one route, or you can self-publish. And the advantage of self-publishing is you'll get the whole process done and get it in people's hands much faster, which was really important to me. So,
yeah, I think so. As this was, I mean, you've hit the market exactly the right time, I think.
Yeah, which I didn't really foresee so much. That was just a little bit of luck. But yeah, just important to me because I don't know. Also, when you start working on something, like if it takes 3 or 4 years through a publisher, I reckon I'd just be so sick of it by the time I got to the end. So just kind of getting it done and getting it out there and then being able to build business off the back of it, because that was part of the reason for writing the book as well as wanting to share the message. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. Now, Bella, are you ready for the rapid round?
Sure.
Okay, what is we're diving in. What is a book that has shaped the way that you think?
So one book that really shaped the way I think about this question we were talking about a little bit here on what does successful work and life look like was Drive by Daniel Pink, which is pretty old now. It might be 14 years old. And just this idea that he came up with, or, you know, his research showed that what really makes people happy or gives their life meaning is having autonomy over what they do and how they run their lives, mastery, the chance to get good at something, and purpose. So kind of contributing to something bigger than yourself.
Yeah. I love that. And I love his TED speech. And I think it was when I first was running leadership sessions, like around the world, different cultures would get people sort of to vote on which one that stood out for them the most in terms of their motivation. And autonomy topped the list in every country, like all the, you know, surprise.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
In the context of flexible working too. So relevant actually.
Yeah. I'm sure that's your driver. It's my driver as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love the idea of like maybe working in a cool job one day, but I'm like, I just wouldn't have the autonomy. It's going to break the constraints. Do you have a favorite app or tool that you think we should all get onto?
So this one is much less highbrow than the book recommendation, but the Just Watch app for people in Australia anyway. It shows you if someone recommends a show, you can go onto the app and see what streaming service it's on without having to hunt it down.
I do that all the time. Like, how do I watch? I think I've got all the stream. You know, when you sign up for a streaming service and you forget, you're like, I'll cancel that. And, you know, you still haven't. It's months later.
That's save cool. Hours of time.
Yeah, Just Watch. Sweet. Thank you. I'll add that to my list. What is a song that gets you fired up?
I like Uptown Funk actually by Bruno Mars. So I often listen to that before I run a workshop or even get on a conversation like this.
He's the best. Have you seen? Yep. I mean, he's my number one artist I'd like to see live.
I haven't seen him live. I would love to as well.
Yeah, he's got a brass band and it's just, I watch him on YouTube. He's so killer.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Belle, do you have a favorite quote that you'd like to share?
So I've actually got a quote pinned up on my wall here, and it's, if you want the best the world has to offer, then offer the world your best. And it's by a guy called Neil Donald Walsh, who I don't know much about what he actually does. I just love that quote. Just this idea that just reminds me to, go out and give my best every day.
That's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I haven't heard that one. That's amazing. Now, Belle, if our listeners would like the best out of you and like to get in touch with you, where should we send them?
So you can go to my website, which is belindamorgan.com. Or you can also, I'm on LinkedIn the most out of the social media channels. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn.
Awesome. And we'll put all of that in the show notes for you. Belle, it was awesome to reconnect after a couple of years and to see this book being birthed to the world and the message that you're sharing that is actually hitting the market at the right time. So hopefully we can get more people working flexibly as a result of this conversation. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, Leanne.
You're the best. Thank you so much for tuning in to Work and Live Large. I really appreciate you. If you know someone in your network and you think, oh my gosh, they've got so much potential, like I want them to live and work larger, send them this episode. I think they might appreciate it. I also appreciate hearing from you, your feedback, your thoughts, your questions, anything. You can shoot me an email, hello@leannehughes.com, or find me on LinkedIn, just search for Leanne Hughes. Stay up to date with all the episodes by heading on over to leannehughes.com/subscribe, and all the best with your week as you go around living it up.